A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome back, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN, Ain't Dunkin', No Smoke. Round 2, Game 5 of the 2022 NBA playoffs. A lot of people don't know. That's what the towel said. I wanted to put you guys back in that mode. All heart, 2018. Sorry, 16, Round 1, Game 4. We got to go all the way back. Got to go all the way. We haven't had much heart since then. How would we come back to that? Every day around this time, we do the rundowns. Go.
It's the Rundown. All the headlines you need at noon. The Rundown with sports headlines at noon. Weekdays with Jason Smith and John Martin.
We, just like you guys, love radio.
The Rundown at noon on the Jason and John Show on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Snazzy little new intro here.
We're doing retro day here. Wow. On the Jason and John Show. It's where we throw back to 2016.
Oh, is that what it said in 2016?
Yes. I was riffing off of your throwback to an era. So that was the original Rundown intro.
Jason, did you remember that?
No, I didn't. I thought it was new.
I thought it was new too.
Throwback Wednesday.
Maybe I should just replace it and put it in with the very first one y'all used.
I honestly look. Here's how I look at it, especially in the month of July. Like, anything that takes up more time for me not to talk is definitely a good thing. So I'm in favor of a summer edition, a summer revamping of the Rundown liner there. Memphis basketball made some news yesterday, late last night, when they announced the, I guess they haven't announced the addition. I think Munn's had the initial report that P.J. Carter is joining the Memphis basketball team. Who is P.J. Carter? P.J. Carter was committed to Rice. He was headed to Rice, and he came over from UTSA. He's got a year of eligibility left. And when you sort of break down what he brings to the table, 6'5", can shoot the ball, fifth-year senior, 9.5 points a game in 19.8 minutes, 40% from three, sixth in the American. So wow. That is what he brings. He is a shooter. He is a knockdown shooter, which at this stage in the season, in the recruiting cycle, Jason, it is absolutely as good as Memphis was going to be able to do. I mean, it's better than a JUCO. It's better than a D2. I mean, it was a guy that was, I don't understand going from UTSA to Rice. I mean, that seems like was he getting NIL? I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going on. But, he does a very covetable thing, which is make threes. And I don't think Memphis has a lot of that, right? You look at this roster, P.J. Haggerty, not a shooter from three. Tyrese Hunter was better last year, but is certainly not a prolific shooter by any means. They have Kobe Rogers. That's really all you have. And I guess Jordan would be a guy that could knock it down a little bit too, but that's it. So I do. I like the addition for Memphis in terms of addressing that because they needed to. You know, if I mean, you were going to get zoned to death with what you had out there, and now you at least have another look. Now, the question sort of then becomes, does it change anything materially about the team? No, this is not a starter. This is not a guy that's going to come in here and average, you know, 15 points a game or anything like that. It's not a whole total replacement of David Jones, but I'm at the margins. I'm a fan of what Penny was able to do with this one.
Well, you had to do it. You had to add wing depth, and I think you're saying the key thing at this juncture when you're trying to add guys that you think can contribute, guys that can help you space the floor and knock down shots, particularly with the need that's on this roster right now. This was probably the best you were going to do. So you know, and so you pull him from Rice. Listen, I don't. You know, the fact that he was headed to Rice could be a deal where, you know, this kid wasn't starting last year for UTSA. I realized at the end of the season he was and actually put together some pretty good games there late. But you're looking at Rice as a lower level, yes, same conference. I can go in there, I'm assuming, and get myself 25 to 30 minutes. Perhaps that's the thinking there. We don't know where the NIL was. We know Memphis, obviously, in a more desperate situation now to fill out David, you know, to fill out David Jones's spot, willing to offer more. And so maybe you come here thinking, okay, maybe I'll take a little bit less of the pie right in Memphis, be a fit, and it'll be a situation where they need shooting. He can help space the floor. Listen, it's late in the tenure right now in terms of trying to add guys. So I think this is about the best you're going to do.
Yeah.
He had some good games there at the end of the season, a 27 and a 23 against SMU and Temple, a 6 of 7 from 3 against Temple. He knows the AAC. That'll help you. You're not asking him. It'd be different if you're asking him to come in and start right now. I don't think this guy that's going to be starting. He's going to be behind Colby Rogers. You need a depth there.
Yeah.
It's a good addition.
Yeah.
Does it change how you feel about the season? Probably not.
No.
But it was much needed.
He had 10 against Memphis. He had double figures against Memphis in that 107. Remember that one, 107-101?
Yeah, he did it only in 15 minutes, too, off the bench, which
right.
was weird. That game where so many UTSA players fouled out. I don't know if you remember that game. He still only played 15 minutes, which was odd, but obviously was very effective in the time that he was out there, getting double figures in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I am absolutely.
That was that 1-0. You remember, it was it was in the triple digits. So that UTSA game that Memphis ended up winning.
Yes,
but everybody fouled out of the game.
Correct. Yeah,
and this guy only played 15 minutes. But
yeah,
he was playing more toward the end of the season for him and starting.
I saw some tape of him. And I got to say, I was pretty, you know, he's a quality shooter. He's a quality shooter. I mean, that's, you know, that's what he brings. He brings shooting at this stage in the game, and they need it. They need a lot. You know, this is a team that I did a video with Doster yesterday for 68. We previewed Memphis. We did the offseason preview for Memphis. And I think people need to get sort of, again, prepared for the national perspective and perception of Memphis to be pretty low. And I think it's deserved at this point. I mean, they regressed last year in a major way. So they have to go out there and they have to prove it. And they have to prove it with a team that, again, is not, Penny's going to have to make something out of this. I mean, there is some clay. There is some clay. But he's going to have to mold that thing, bro. He's going to have to mold it. He's got to turn it into something, you know, that looks like a tournament team. And it's going to take, you know, some management, some, you know, because it's not obvious. This is a team that's not obvious. A lot of his teams have been obvious in terms of who's starting line.
I mean, last year looked obvious, and I think Phillip Hart. That's the thing about it is that,
I mean, that's some solace if you want to take the opposite approach, you know.
That's the thing about going too crazy here in the offseason. You know, last year you had a great team on paper. You've had great teams on paper before. We know everything that can happen. This one's thin in terms of it feels like depth. It could end up being a good thing. We could find out that this one's pieced together better than previous teams, certainly last year's, which wasn't put together well at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing about it is it's so hard to judge anything on paper. Again, this is it looks lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
It does, especially compared to last year. It could end up being a better team just in terms of the way that you end up being a tournament team, you're better.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, the expectation for me doesn't change here based on roster. You have to make the tournament. You should still win the AAC based on what you have. And frankly, you know, that's Penny Hardaway's charge at this point. Mm. I mean, there's no emotions tied to it whatsoever. This could end up being a better team than last year, although on paper, it doesn't look like it from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, no, it also could be, you know.
I think the key for me is what you've continued to point out this offseason is that the analytics say when you do this, when you replace this many guys year after year, it is not a good formula to make the tournament.
Yep.
That is not the way to get your program's culture back.
Exactly.
To get Memphis basketball back.
Yep.
And so that's where I feel where you're at in terms of sort of this, man, what's the road to get that back? And
right.
that is, again, the challenge for Penny. It's also a tough spot.
You know, also the staff turnover. I mean, there's been a ton of staff turnover as well. So you're bringing in new players and new coaches, you know, and new voices. It's a lot of new voices to bring into a program, you know, at one time in a year that is just so critical, you know, to restore. And look, I hate that every conversation has to go to this, you know, about Memphis basketball. We're talking about a damn player that they're bringing in. But, I mean, look, that is
what... they needed this guy. I mean, they needed wing depth, and this guy can not... He shot over 40% from three.
Yeah, that's a very solid addition.
This late in the game,
no question. Now, this time last year, they were adding, you know, David Jones and Jordan Brown.
They got David early, didn't they?
He was like,
I thought he was one of the early ones.
Okay, yeah, and then I think they got Quinterly, maybe.
That's what it was, is that it went so late. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess David felt earlier.
Yeah. So, you know, look, it's not last year. But, you know, again, there's a way that this team makes a tournament. I mean, you know, last year couldn't win a game in the AAC, but they started 15-2. You know, so all you got to do is, like, be decent
in
the AAC.
It's still a bad conference.
Yeah.
And probably worse than it was last year.
But I really worry about them, Jason, mostly in the non-conference. That's where I worry, because I feel like that's where they're not going to be able to make a dent, and they're going to be in a situation where...
Or they have to win the conference.
Right.
It could very well be that.
Yep.
I mean, what are the chances you're going to be as good in the non-conference as you were last year
basically
with
zero.
Another new team?
I think zero.
Exactly.
Zero.
And so there's a good chance the pressure. But you look at this conference, you see UAB, you look at what Memphis has got, and you said you should win. You should. I'm in agreement with you. It could be co-favorites. You should still win it. This is not a U and FAU
that.
Situation.
No, yeah, I mean, to me,
especially
it's like,
in the position that you're in.
At
like
this point.
It's time at this point.
No
so
question.
You with your resources... You know, while we'll talk about this is not a good formula in terms of trying to reestablish culture,
right.
It's still the ninth best class in the transfer portal, according to Evan Maya. I mean, you know, your resources allow you to do that. And so you have to, as far as I'm concerned, even going through a, you know, what could be a tough non-conference year, you have to win the AAC and get that auto bid. I think that's what Lenardi's banking on. And I'm not lowering that bar for Memphis.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should.
I think this guy can maybe help you do that, possibly.
I think
he can be a piece of the puzzle. It's good that you're not asking him to come in here and be a starting, you know, wing based on what we saw last year from him. Don't know if he can handle it.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I think this definitely clarifies, you know, what it was going to look like. You know, again, it's like that's your seventh man, eighth man, you know. I think the NIL sort of is reflective of that. And everybody's going to be on the same page. So, again, it's contextually within what Memphis was going to be able to do. You know, this was a good addition. I will say, you know, I kind of swear by Bart Torvik, you know. Yeah, I know you don't like it. You got something against Bart.
Well, I'm a KenPom man.
Yeah.
That's all.
But I mean,
nothing,
you know,
personal.
Right, but at some point.
We all have our allegiance.
Just like Jordan retires and sort of, you know, he did have the Wizards years. I mean, nobody likes to talk about it, but he did. You know, it allowed LeBron sort of to come in and take that torch. Now, did you ever let him have his day? You did not.
I mean, name me a better Wizards player since. Who you going to give me? Bradley Beal?
Wall, I'm going to give you Wall.
He's the best damn player
John
Wizards
Wall.
Had since. John Wall?
Yeah, I'm going to give you Wall over Jordan.
That guy's a bust. Train wreck.
He
ended up being. What did he win? Nothing.
What did
Bradley Beal win?
Jordan didn't win nothing with the Wizards either.
We went to the playoffs.
That's true. Y'all went to the Wizards. Yep. And wasn't he running the team too? He was doing everything.
Player coach like Bill Russell.
He was everything. But that's what Bart Torvik has done. Bart Torvik sort of come in, and he's taken the mantle from KenPom. There's no doubt about it. I think Bart has them 26th with his analytics.
26th in the country?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that's interesting.
And you said I'm here bad-mouthing them.
Well, because here's
in
the thing.
July.
Bart was low on Memphis when everybody was high on Memphis. And now he's high on Memphis when everybody is low on Memphis. So I will say, if you're really actually looking for tangible, palpable things that should make you optimistic, I would say that his analytics and his systems have Memphis pretty damn good.
Exactly.
Now,
again, this could end up being a better year than, and it needs to be, but it could very well be that.
Now,
although,
you know,
here in July we're lamenting
you're battling history. Not only are you battling UAB for the conference, not only are you battling Temple for the conference, Tulane, South Florida, Titans.
You're having to dig deep.
The Titans of college basketball. You're also having you're staring down history. Now, it's not a long history, but it is a four-year history. In the age of the transfer portal, as we talked about, teams that flip their roster and only return 10% of minutes or less do not go to the tournament. It's never happened. Not one time has it happened. Only one time has it happened for a team that's returning 16% minutes or fewer, and that was Iowa State in 2021-22. They did go to the Sweet 16. You're not close to 16%. You're a world away from 16%. You would do anything to be at 16% right now. Maybe if you could convince, Ashton to come back and, Pierre or something. I don't know how you could get to 16, but you'd have to battle back. There's no doubt about it. So you're battling it. You're facing down history as well. While we're on the subject of analytics, people will they will point to Evan Mia's transfer rankings, and Memphis is like very high in those.
Ninth.
That's weighted towards number of additions too.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't put much stock into those. I would say, and I respect Evan Mia's work, but.
This is a top 15
Louisville
class, even if you take. I mean,
well,
I realize
bodies.
I realize number wise, but in terms of what you've paid, this is a top 15 class in the country. You can drop it a little bit. There ain't much that got a better portal class.
And well, it's a big one,
and I know number is a part of that, but who's gone out and spent more than Memphis in terms of her portal?
Well,
and where are you going to drop them, 30th? No, it can't. It has to be top 15-ish at least.
I mean,
I understand what you're saying,
that
it's weighted because of number. The recruiting services used to do the same thing.
Right.
But I still think it's a good portal class. The issue is you got so damn many of them.
You got a lot.
And you're doing it for the second straight offseason.
That's right.
And we saw how that can lead to issues, chemistry issues, and how it can all fall apart right in front of our eyes last year.
All right, it is July 10th. Memphis going dancing. Memphis not going dancing.
They're going to make the tournament. They have to make the tournament. They're going to win the AAC to do it. Because I'm with you that they could struggle. I mean, you look at just the Maui field.
It's brutal.
And where North Carolina and UConn and those teams are ranked going into this season.
Yep.
It could be a tough non-conference road to hoe, but they're going to win the AAC. The AAC is weak.
Yeah, because last year, don't forget, you got packed up by Villanova by 40. That team didn't even make the tournament.
And the two teams you beat, you thought that was going to help you. They didn't help you at all.
That hurt. That hurt a lot. And I mean, again, it wouldn't have mattered.
Because they go on to have bad seasons.
Took so many
but
damn
bad. But you did.
Nails.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you got stomped by a team that didn't make the tournament.
So, I mean, I don't.
You still end up, 11-2?
Yeah, I mean.
In the non-con?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a hell of a run.
They did a great.
Based on what they did the rest of the way.
Yeah, because they beat Clemson. They beat Virginia. You know, I don't know if. I mean, those
one
were.
One more in there. Texas A&M.
Oh, A&M, VCU, yeah. I mean, they got all those wins. Yeah. I mean, they're very impressive.
Missouri on the road, one that didn't materialize in anything that was really, good for your resume.
Well, that was the other part of it. Is like,
unfortunately,
maybe,
they didn't hold up their end.
Most of the non-conference ended up being sort of smoke and mirrors, unfortunately, because the teams just fell apart. That's not Memphis's fault. I mean, at the time, it did not look like that.
This could very well be a season that's flipped from last year where you struggle early. Mm-hmm. It comes together for you in a way that's at least good enough to win the AAC next year and get the auto bid.
Right, exactly.
This league, as we know, could be so weak, you're back in that 8-9 slot. That's where we're looking at, folks.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's okay. I mean,
I don't care how you get in.
When we were talking about last year going into the season, we were saying, hey, just kind of hold serve in your non-conference, right? And I think the same applies here. Just hold serve. Don't get your ass handed to you in every game, and then just make sure that you absolutely in every opportunity handle your business in the AAC. I mean, if you do that, which last year's team did not, you're going to wind up with a chance. You're going to wind up with a chance. I don't. It's going to depend on the rest of the country. And honestly, you really do. If you don't win the AAC, you can kiss it goodbye. If you finish second, kiss it goodbye. It's not happening. You have to win the AAC tournament.
It'll be tough this year.
But listen, I think this is an addition that could help them do that. A 40% 3-point shooter. At the Division I level. This is not a guy because I think that's important. you know, when you're adding a guy like Jonathan Pierre and you're looking at his numbers, you're like, okay, like I have to kind of guess whether or not this guy is going to come into Memphis and be able to duplicate this. And he clearly did not. You know, this is a guy who played against Memphis, who played against AAC competition, who played against D1 teams and shot 40% from three, right? That, I like that. I don't have, it's not a mystery to me. You know, there's some mysteries on this team. PJ Hagger, to me, a little bit of a mystery. I'm less convinced of that. You know, I actually will subscribe more to a guy, because 40% is 40%. Ain't no arguing with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like he's shooting one a game. So,
but guys can also have good, a decent shooting years come and give you nothing. I mean, Jaquan Walton shot it well at Wichita State.
That is true.
Christian Kessie at one point shot for a lower level.
I can't believe you even bring him up.
Well, the reason we did is because of what he did against the power schools that they played that year.
That is true.
We said this is proven. He's going to shoot it well for Tubby because of what he did against the power schools on Coppin State. And it didn't translate at all. He was always, what is this? So sometimes it does not, John.
Coppin State.
Coppin State was who it was, and he had some good games against Power 5 level competition where he had shot it well.
Yeah.
That's why I can go back and reference old Christian Kessie.
Man.
Because we thought that was going to translate.
We did.
We played that up.
It did not.
At all.
Well,
he wasn't even playing at the end of the
season. I'm ready for somebody to translate. That's what I'm ready for. I'm ready for somebody's game to actually, for it to actually.
David Jones's Big East game translated.
It did.
Yep.
It did.
That translated, Kendrick, especially the rebounding.
Kendrick Kane, but that was really not much of a
Well, yeah, we did, yeah. I mean, it's the same level.
DeAndre translated.
He did.
That's true.
He did.
Yeah, we got him. So, I mean, because all we basically had with him was Kentucky, right?
Well, didn't we see David Jones play for, like, Puerto Rico against Memphis, didn't he?
No, Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic game. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was balling out against us.
That was the first time we were like, because he had not arrived in Memphis yet.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I said, he might be a little bit more than I thought.
Exactly.
He might be bringing a little bit more to the table than I
he probably,
thought.
He probably got a check from Memphis while playing against us that week.
Oh, for sure. No question about it. Yeah, that was good. That was
where
good,
you give it to him.
Yeah, a little tourism.
That was a, yeah, I'm sure that's why they, you know, NIL there, because he, you know, yeah.
You had to drop it off.
Looking forward to playing you. Here's a check.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, it's, you know, a good addition for Memphis.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to go crazy over it. Obviously, as you guys know, there's a lot that still has to be proven.
What's the deal? He had not attended class at Rice, y'all.
Yeah.
And so you can grab him out of the portal
until
he hits that room.
Correct. Yeah.
How about old Rick getting it done?
Don't you ever forget the one he got. When he was at Western Kentucky from Memphis on the first day of class. What was his
name?
That's
right.
It was,
Now, Rick will strike late.
What was dude's name? Oh, he's a sniper.
Come on, it was
dude,
the Ford that could shoot it a little bit.
Oh.
Was it Boise State?
It was.
All right, I've given you everything I can give
Emmanuel?
You now.
Boise State. Acott?
That's it, Acott. And Rick pulled him on, like, the first damn day of class.
Was it Emmanuel Acott?
Yeah. That's him.
Get
that's
out him. Of that algebra class, bruh.
So Rick will do this to you.
And he did,
late.
And he did not have a good year. He did not have a good year up there.
Yep.
I was excited about Acott.
We all were, especially the fit that he was with that team.
Yep.
That was.
And Rick pulled a slick one.
Sniper.
That's right.
And he's done it again.
He's done, right here. He has done it again. Emmanuel Acott now plays, by the way, for the Winnipeg Sea Bears.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
So
Acott shooting that thing.
Yeah. He. What did he? I'm just going to look it up. That year at West Kentucky, he averaged 7-3-2. So
man, he really came down.
He did. He came down big time.
Should have stayed at Boise State, or
yeah,
or stayed at Memphis one.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man.
Man, he was on campus and everything. When it was a deal where like he had been spotted and then just was gone, like disappeared.
Now,
Rick had got him.
That's right. That was his career for the season. It was 10 points.
Oh, I was gonna say because that was a huge
10-2. But I mean, so it's not much different.
Yeah.
And he shot. He went from 38.7% from three to 32%. So his numbers did come down, bro. His numbers came down quite a bit. And they didn't do anything. Memphis made the tournament. Think about last.
Rick didn't make a tournament at West Kentucky.
Dude, Emmanuel Acott, Kendrick Davis, like that team, imagine Emmanuel Acott out there instead of Elijah McCadden. You know what I'm saying? Like, Acott was a better player than, you know, again, it's just that's so close. So close, man. So close yet so far. Anyway, welcome to Memphis, PJ Carter.
Next story.
I got to get used to all these PJs. There's multiple PJs now.
That's right. That's true. That's true.
Gonna have to get used to that. A little quick reset here.
Thank you.
Grizzlies get the win last night, 87-85 over in Summer League. Speaking of David Jones, we saw him in a Philadelphia uniform last night, although he's certainly not who we had eyes on, I suppose, for the most part of that game. David Jones coming off the bench for a second straight Summer League game for Philadelphia. As for Memphis, the hero again laid a late game heroics. It was Edie that forced overtime with the tip and regulation the first game. Now Grizz lose the first one, but last night Jalen Wells gets one there at the horn. Isaiah Miller had gone in for a layup. Jalen Wells ends up catching the rebound deflection. Karam throws up a shot, wins the game. Good for him, and a good night, especially after looking, we had said it, like a deer in headlights that first game. Goes 9 of 23. Now, I don't know how many more times Jalen Wells, you know, outside of Summer League is going to get 23 shots in an NBA game. Goes 9 of 23, 27 points, and hits the game winner. Also added 6 rebounds. So a good bounce-back performance for him. Cam Spencer, John's guy. You know, I feel Memphis falling in love with Cam Spencer. He goes 7 of 14, 3 of 7 from 3. Both these guys, obviously, shooter. Cam Spencer's done it now for 2 consecutive games. Continue to just make the right play. I don't know if this guy's big enough, as Harrington has brought up, to last in the league, but I know he can play basketball. And obviously, he's a national champion ever coming over from UConn. He ended up with 18 last night, 8 assists, and, yeah, 7 fouls. We get it. But I love his energy. I love the way he makes the right play, and you have to love the shooting.
Yep.
But last night, we saw a little bit more from Jalen Wells. Obviously, goes 3 of 7 after a poor shooting performance in game 1.
Yep.
You can't draw too much out of these specifically when you learned before the game that you would not have Edie. We expected as much.
Yeah,
you would not have
Edie. Plus 2.
No GG, no Laravia. They were all, no Scottie Pippen Jr. They were all obviously sitting. And so I didn't tune into this game until very late, but happy for Jalen Wells, who obviously gets the post-game interview afterward. He was pretty much the afterthought. And actually, probably unfairly, some of us were looking at game 1 of that Summer League game and wondering if the Grizzlies had done the right thing in making Wells the standard contract guy and Cam Spencer the two-way. Again, that's the danger of these Summer League games. Jalen Wells bounces back. Again, did come on 23 shots. We'll see if he's getting that many shots again when he's outside the Summer League. Grizzlies back at it tonight. They'll play their final game of the Utah Summer League against the Thunder. I'm still trying to find out if Edie's playing tonight.
It looks as – I mean, the number would suggest.
Would suggest that he
is playing. Yeah, 7.5 is the number.
Okay.
So, I mean, that minus 7.5. That would suggest it. I mean, I don't know that. That would make sense, though, right? One on, one off.
More reason for all of us to tune in tonight at 6 o'clock if he does play. I'm just not going to have my hopes high. I mean, what was the indication yesterday? Wasn't it? They were a slight underdog?
They
ended up being favored by, or did they? What
was
it? Yeah.
Philly was,
I thought there was some indication he would play yesterday. Then we find out before the game he wasn't.
Yeah, we didn't know. So it was like Memphis had flipped to a favorite. They were an underdog to open, and they flipped to a favorite. And then the news came out that nobody was playing. Then they went back to being a 2.5-point underdog.
Good thing is you can watch this one tonight and then and pack it away and then be able to catch Team USA versus Canada a little bit later on. That exhibition is going on the first of 5 friendlies for Team USA before going over to Paris before the Olympics. That one, even though an exhibition, we had talked about Dylan Brooks been talking some stuff. His last interaction, obviously, is the Grizzly with LeBron, the back and forth there. He's going to see LeBron again, Steph Curry, and that back and forth with Golden State. So it should be a fun time watching that one as well. I'll pay some attention tonight, particularly if Edie and Gigi and those guys are back in. If not, good luck watching Cam Spencer another game.
Well, I know it just really chaps your ass to watch Cam Spencer.
I know, and everybody's just trying to, when he's the highlight of things. And suppose Jalen, Jalen's 27, we're kind of quiet. He did it on so many shots, hitting the game winner. But through much of that game, I'm going, wow, Cam Spencer. For the second straight game, I'm going, Cam Spencer can play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I honestly believe,
he makes the right play. He's in the right place for rebounds and loose balls. Like, there's just something about those kind of players that usually ends up sticking.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to have a discussion about Zach Edey and Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
If you will oblige me.
Yes.
Please do.
He's the favorite.
Saw where he became the favorite.
He is the favorite.
Now, that's they saw the first game.
Yes.
And the odds have come out since then. They've changed since then.
Yeah, they've probably taken some money on Zach Edey, and
that's part of
he's
it
now 6-1. He's the consensus favorite at your favorite sports book to be the Rookie of the Year. And we're about to have a discussion. I'm about to help some people. I'm about to educate
and inform
some people here. If you bet on Zach Edey at 6-1 to win Rookie of the Year, you are an idiot. You are an idiot. There is no world where Zach Edey should be the favorite to be the Rookie of the Year next season in the NBA. I love Zach Edey. It's well documented.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan. I've been vocal about his impact. I've been vocal about how good he's going to be. But I want to give you guys a little bit of a history lesson about rookies of the year. Victor Wembanyama. Do you guys know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Heard about him. Yeah.
You know what his usage rate was last year?
What was it?
It was 32.1. Let's just keep going back through the annals of history if you guys have time. You guys have time?
Yeah, we got time.
Paolo Banchero, rookie of the year.
Usage?
The year before that, 27.4. Scotty Barnes, when he won it in 21-22, 19% usage rate. The year before that, LaMelo Ball, 26.1% usage rate. Year before that, I don't know if you guys have ever heard about Ja Morant.
Heard about him.
25.9% usage rate. How about Luka Doncic when he was a rookie in 2017-18? Usage rate, 30.4%. So you guys sense that theme, right? With the exception of one in Scotty Barnes, who had a usage rate of 19, every other player is 25% usage rate and above. Zach Edey's usage rate is going to be minimal. It's going to be minimal. He's not going to get the ball. We talk about this all the time on the show. He's contextually going to be a great player for the Grizzlies. He's going to rebound the ball. He's going to set screens. He's going to make things happen for John Morant. And the Grizzlies are going to win games. That does not matter for Rookie of the Year. Because guys like Sarr, Reese Hoshea, Reed Shepard, list goes on. They're going to be guys on bad teams that have more opportunities, more minutes, more scoring, that are just going to do more than Zach. If Zach averages 8 and 10, I mean, you guys can do whatever the hell you want. I'm in these streets, right? You guys can bet whatever you want. Zach Edey will not be the Rookie of the Year next year. And he certainly should not be the favorite at 6-1. That is outrageous. He is not going to be he is not going to win. Now, if the price was 30-1, 25-1, okay. I could get down with that. But we're talking about a consensus favorite. You're a sucker if you bet that. You're a sucker for that.
Are all those other dudes going to start though is my question?
Oh, sure, yes.
Well, I don't think Reed Shepard's going to have a usage rate like Wimby.
Oh, he may not.
But, I mean, because Jalen Green's still going to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So you're right that some of these other guys' usage rate will be higher, but I would still say it's going to be in some bad situations. There'll be lower usage rates than the Lucas and the Wimbys, these guys coming out of this draft. Mm. And that, you know, even if it's 8-10,
right,
there's a chance he's going to be doing it as a starter for a playoff team. And Wimby was the winner last year, but what was Chet Holmgren's usage rate? I mean, Chet Holmgren's a talented big, obviously. But it wasn't a guy that they were going to in terms of as the main guy. SGA's still that. He was a piece, a talented one. Don't get me wrong.
It was 21.6.
And it's a bigger role than Zach will have. But my point is that the ball wasn't running through him, and he was second. I mean, and this is not a good crop of rookies.
Well, that is true.
And so I'm just saying he's going to be doing it for a winner, a contender.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to push back on our betting expert here on our show. I'm with you that, you know, maybe at other odds this would be a better bet. I'm certainly not going to lay any money down.
Right.
But yeah, he's going to be seen, barring injury, he is going to be seen all year long. Look at the way SportsCenter jumped on him after the first game, because he's the two-time NCAA Player of the Year. And, oh, by the way, he's 7'4", so just watching him is crazy.
Right.
I just think the narrative's going to have him in, and show me the rookie in the situation. You're right, some of them going to have higher usage rates, but are any of these guys going to be good?
Well, I mean, that I don't know, right? LaMelo Ball, you would say, is not good. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of guys over the year. Paolo, good. Scotty Barnes would probably be like, you need to have a Scotty Barnes type of year. So, I don't remember what the
which of these guys is going in to be the guy, though? Because LaMelo was, right? Those guys that we, you know, those guys we mentioned, like Luka, Wimby, they're going in to be the guy.
Right.
You know, even on that Atlanta team, you know.
I would say, like, a guy like Stephon Castle.
I saw him. He dunked on last night. I was watching
his highlights. He's going to have the ball in his hands
now,
a lot.
He will have the ball in his hands. He could be a guy. I could see it. In a narrative of the Spurs getting two in a row with the Rookie of the Year, I could see it.
Right.
Castle would be a guy that I'd look at and say,
I think he's
I
a good
see
bet.
Value here.
Yes.
I like that you bring up Castle. The other guys do. We know nothing about
well, that is true.
How
we don't
fit into those situations.
But we do know that Sarr is just going to have.
But he could be forgotten about. You know what I'm saying?
He
in
could.
A way where at least the narrative, the sport, the ESPNs and everybody, they don't care about him and on a loser
right.
in the same way that they do in Edey, the two-time player of the year, on a winner.
Right.
You know, and the way you watch
now,
him.
Now, in fairness, I mean, Paolo was 34-48. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was on a loser. you know, he just had a high usage rate, and it was just like obvious. Now,
but going to be the man.
He was the man.
He was going to be the man. Like, that's what's different about some of these other situations for these guys.
Yes. But Sarr will probably be the man in Washington, right? I mean, they probably won't be 34 and 48, but he will be the guy. Now, he's a big, so it's a little different.
Well, yeah, he's got to get it from Jordan Poole, and I'm assuming they're going to re-sign Tyus. Have they done that yet?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. Right. But, like, Ron Holland in Detroit. He may not be the guy, but...
No, Cade's the guy. Cade's
he'll have chances.
He will. Know? But that's a dog situation. Nobody's watching Detroit.
The guy from France for the Hornets, you know? I mean,
yeah, who knows on him? I would guess no. Others thought he should be drafted lower.
Yeah. I think again, you know...
We're going to finish top three.
I think
narrative will help push him up there.
What makes it
so
a bad
long as he
bet...
Plays most
what
makes
it plus 600 is what it is?
Yeah, yes. 6-1, the favorite.
Well, what was Wemby last year? Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, Wemby was the odds on.
It was like a minus. Plus 100.
Yeah,
wasn't
I mean,
it?
It was, yeah, it was exactly. It was everybody knew that Wimby was going to be.
Yeah,
everybody knew Wimby was
relatively speaking.
Year.
Yeah.
But do you think Edie will have even a 15% usage rate? You know what I'm saying? I think probably not.
No, I think it'll be low. Again, you're not throwing the ball into
exactly.
Him. But it'll have a chance to be like a Derek Lively in terms of you're the right fit. For a winning, contending team, so your story, the narrative on you is constantly being seen. It's constantly being pushed,
right?
And so you are out there in front of the guys in Detroit and Atlanta and everything else with lesser numbers, usage rate, and maybe even obviously,
right.
You know, with your points, rebounds. I just think again because we're going to watch him, and we'll do it all year if he's out there. I mean the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Lively is a good call. He got one vote last year. He got one vote for Rookie of the Year, you know, on a good team, as you said. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nobody was getting that over Wimby, though. That's the point.
That's why Edie is the favorite, because there's not that sort of singular guy this year. But I still believe that what makes it a bad bet is not somebody saying, I think Edie will have a chance to be the Rookie of the Year. I agree with that. What makes it a bad bet is the price you're paying.
I got you.
Right? Edie should not be 6-1 based on what we know about the way this award is decided.
Well, it's crazy when they were saying he was a reach at 9.
Right.
Based, you know.
If it was like, let's say.
And now they're saying he should be.
Because there's here's what people don't think about. There's
so it has shifted considerably.
There's an implied probability, right, when you are saying 6-1. So this would be, if you bet on Zach Edey to win Rookie of the Year, you're saying he has a 14% chance of winning Rookie of the Year, which I don't believe. I don't believe he has a forward.
I can't push back on
that. I think
that.
He has maybe like a 5% chance of, which I think, let's see.
Is it 5? This crop of guys?
All right, what's a fair number? What's your fair number?
I don't know. It just feels like it's higher because there's 8%, not that Wimby 10%, or a Luka who
10%.
We know. Yeah, yeah.
10%?
Yeah, that feels, yeah.
Okay, let's see what 10%
again,
would be.
Again, I'm going off gut here. You're our numbers guy.
So 10% would be about 900, plus 900. So that's better. I think it's more so 15%. So what would that put us at? 15%, 5%.
5% is what
that would be about, let's see, about 8 plus 1,800, which I think that is more fair, right? It's not that I don't think Zach Edey has a chance to win Rookie of the Year, okay? It's that, let's think of it like this. I bought a Peloton in 2021. I paid $1,500 for it, right? Mm-hmm. If I'd have waited and bought that sumbitch in 2024, I'd have paid $700 for it, right? It does the same things. I can still get on there and exercise. I paid more, you know what I'm saying, for an item that I could have got for $800 less in 2 years, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So if we would have jumped on it right after the draft, are we good?
I don't remember what it was, but
I'm sure
certainly
it was
better. Yeah. Like, it's all about price in this stuff. What makes bad bets win, by the way.
Sure.
Bad bets win.
I've seen that.
Yeah, like we all know that. Just because I'm saying Edie is a bad bet doesn't mean I don't think he can win it.
Sure.
It's just when you're betting on a market like this, you should get fair. You should pay fair prices. And right now they're gouging your ass at 6-1.
Interesting.
Is it everybody that's shifting him to the favorite now?
I know
FanDuel's got it.
I saw today consensus. Let me look it up at just for issues.
I mean, they were just saying a couple of weeks ago the guy was a reach at 9, and now off one summer league game they've made him the favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
Jason, you bring up a good point. Do the sports books see, oh my God, they're looking at the 7-foot-4 statue and they're talking about him all the time, so let's try to knock this number down a little bit so we can get some money off of this discussion. Like, you're, like that's just, he's going to be a point of conversation because of the starting
line. DraftKings has him 6-1 as well. So.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to take advantage of that.
You need to open up your own book then.
Well, I mean, listen, I will take 6-1, Zach Edey. You hit me up. I'll book 6-1.
Call our bookie off the record.
Yeah, like I'll take it.
You're a bookie.
We'll set a cap. But again, he could do it. You're right. Situationally, he's going to be in a great.
He's not top three.
But
with this crop,
it's
a best situation.
It is. I think the quality of the team hurts him in that way too, because it's an individual award, and he is going to be the fifth option. Or maybe six.
How many of these top 10 picks will even be starters?
Let's look.
It's got to be fewer than five.
All right. So,
Connect.
Reese Hachey, well, he wasn't top 10. Reese Hachey is going to start. Sarr's going to start. You don't think Shepard's going to start?
On a team with Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, I guess you're going to put him at the two.
And Van Vliet, is he still there?
Yeah, I think so.
So he probably won't start. He'll probably come off the bench. Castle will start. Holland will start. Salone will start. Klingon will start. Dillingham, well, I mean, not.
There's six there.
Dillingham, not. Dillingham is an interesting case. Because he's
not starting off the bat. You're still starting Mike Conley.
He may overtake Mike, though. You could see.
Not in the first season. This is to be handed off to him. He's going to be brought along.
Cody Williams.
But it's more. What you've named out is more than I thought. I mean, you were up around six.
Buzelis, will he start?
Probably, yeah, now that we've moved on from DeRozan.
Yeah.
He'll have a chance.
Devin Carter? Probably not.
Yeah, more than I thought. More than I thought.
What about Jared McCain?
But again, some of those starters are in bad situations that will be.
McCain won't start with.
I don't think they're too heavy there in Philly.
Who's the point? Is it Lowry still?
In Philly?
Yeah.
Maxey's got
Maxey.
So who's the two?
They're bringing in Eric Gordon.
Okay.
And they have Oubre out there, and now they'll have Paul George.
So McCain will be off the bench.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Edey is in the mix. I'm not saying he's not in the mix. I don't think he should be considered the favorite. I think Stephon Castle would be where I'd put my bet, because he's the point guard. He's going to have the ball in his hands. Mm. And he is plus 900. So it's not like Edey is the consensus favorite by a wide margin here. It's like you have 650 and then 700 with Sarr and Reese Hachey. But, you know, again, it's about having the ball in your hands. That's what this award is about for the most part. Doesn't really matter, you know, how much you win. I mean, two straight years, the rookie of the year has gone to a player on a losing team. Mm-hmm. Now, Wimby was undeniable, and Paolo, I guess, was undeniable. I don't remember what it looked like for him in voting, but it's an award that tends to shade towards a high usage rate. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to help. If we look up in, start of the season and this is closer to 15-1, knock yourself out.
You help me. I'm not going to place the bet.
You were you going to place the bet?
No, but you know, you've convinced me not to.
Yeah, so a little gas money. People are like, people think I've been.
You are straight. You flipped on Zach Edey.
No,
in spirit you have.
No, it's just
you keep
about
saying I believe he can win it, bro. In this crop, I feel like he's got a goodest chance at anybody, and I don't care. You know. The fact that the sports books have made him the favorite.
Edey doesn't have to be rookie of the year to be a good player for the Grizzlies, though, and I think that's sort of where I come in. You know what I mean? Like, it's very possible that he finishes third or fourth in the rookie of the year voting, and he is doing exactly what he needs to do for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's very possible.
So that's just kind of I think both things can be true at the same time, and that's kind of where I come down on it. I might look dumb that I said that he won't be rookie of the year, or that I said this is a bad price. I've been very vocal from the beginning about how much I love Zach Edey in this fit. I wouldn't be betting 6-1 on him to win rookie of the year. You want to arrest me? You want to throw me away?
Well, I think Zach might look at you with a little bit of disgust. Right?
You want to take away my Zach Edey car, bro?
You don't deserve it.
I don't deserve it. All right, well, I do have one more before we get out of here.
Next story.
Olympic news. Olympic basketball news. American Olympic basketball news. Kawhi Leonard, gone. Oh. He is not going to play for the United States men's team. He announced today he's withdrawing. It sounds like Derek White is going to replace him.
I like the replacement.
Yeah, so
Kawhi is a broken-up old man.
That's right.
I knew Kevin wasn't playing because of the calf.
Yeah.
What's the?
I think it's the same thing, right? It's the injury. Remember, he missed the end of the playoffs. So, I think that's the deal.
Why did you even go to Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't
to be in the pictures?
I guess, yeah.
He had to have known.
I agree.
That he's lame right now.
No doubt. Maybe he was just hoping that it would turn. I'm not sure. But
this dude here.
Yes.
What are the Clippers doing? The way Paul George tells is that, with all your offers and everything else, you favored Kawhi over him. Why at this point of Kawhi's career?
Right. Kawhi's withdrawing, and we have the friendly tonight. Friendly tonight.
No Durant, too, because of the calf.
Yeah, no Durant.
That was announced.
I thought this number would be 8.5. Any guesses?
No, what is it?
12. The United States is a 12-point favorite tonight.
I mean, you still got LeBron and Jason Tatum out there, bro.
I mean, if the United States covers that number, why even have the damn thing at this point? I mean,
Canada's about to get a wake-up call. This ain't FIBA World Cup that you beat us in.
So
don't try to compare.
So you think...
Also, something astonishing. Did you see this on Team USA? Steph Curry can do a great many things with the basketball. He cannot spin it on his finger. Neither can Halliburton.
I saw that.
Neither
can
Halliburton.
I was shocked by that whole exercise.
It was one of the most fascinating
shocked.
Things I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
Halliburton
shocked.
Can't do it either.
Shocked.
Halliburton
I couldn't believe
can't
it.
Do it.
No, my son and I were
like
watching. It's like,
guys
what?
That, point guard especially, that you figure could do. Drew Holiday now, do everything with it.
Oh, he's a stud.
Kick it off the leg and everything else. But yeah. I found it. And Steph, the funny thing was, he didn't hide. He's embarrassed by it. Yeah. By the fact that he never learned how to do it. I feel so much better about my skill level.
Yeah, no, Steph's
when I
good
saw
at that.
That Steph cannot do it.
He's good at that. It wasn't just Steph. Embiid can't do it either.
But Embiid's a big,
okay.
And he was forgiven for that.
Okay.
But like the guards, Steph, Halliburton not being able to do it, that's, wow. That was, I'm not going to lie, it's shocking. I just figured those guys would have it. Not everybody's a globetrotter, you know what I'm saying? That's
yep.
a globetrotter skill.
Yes. I did see that.
But I'll be locked in tonight, though, John.
No,
I didn't mean to sidetrack you there. I was thrown off by the fact Steph was good. It's like a little boy trying to spin that thing. But I'll be locked in tonight as Team USA clowns on Canada.
I don't know.
No, we're going to dunk on some people's
I think 12
faces
is
tonight.
Too many, bro. Without Kawhi now and no Durant. Bro, the folks old as hell.
Bro, Kawhi wasn't going to do anything but be old out there anyway. This is an upgrade having fresh Derek.
The World Cup team did not have Jamal
Murray.
Having
world champion Derek White on this thing to play on both ends and actually give you some
effort. I don't know
effort.
If he's playing tonight. I don't know if he's going to be there for this.
We don't need him. We got Embiid and Anthony Davis.
I mean, so it just don't even matter what the number
this
is.
This is not freaking Walker Kessler and Jaren Jackson Jr. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I remember at the camp last year? The straw poll for the Atlantic for the Athletic said that Jaren Jackson Jr. was the best player for that team. He won the straw poll. Now that was before Anthony Edwards ends up taking it over. This one's LeBron. All the players from the select they picked LeBron. I mean the upgrade just there in itself. Gonna have Steph. Come on, man. Anthony Edwards is back.
Right.
This version.
Yeah.
They are gonna blow, and they have reason. They're motivated after losing the third-place game. Yes, another USA team, but they lost it to Canada. They're going to smoke these boys.
Yeah, it's definitely a stay away from me. But at any rate, we are going to get that going tonight. What is it, 9 o'clock, I think? 9 mm-hmm. o'clock tonight. We'll get the friendly between Canada and America. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, are you trying to...
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Fam, yeah. Shoot 360. Greatest place on earth. Get a membership out there. See it for yourself. I know a lot of you guys that are listening have kids that are playing basketball, that are spending a lot of time in the gym. Well, you should absolutely get a membership out of Shoot 360 because you'll notice a difference in their game. Passing drills, dribbling drills, shooting drills, everything you can imagine. You'll see the difference when the time is put in out at Shoot 360, 85 Market Center Drive in Kyber.
It's not all new school for those of us that are old school. They've still got some old school involved in this future of basketball training. That'd be the development coaches and the weight training. They know how much that matters as well. But this technology, it won't just improve your shots, it's going to improve your ball handling, your passing, those interactive drills on those huge, massive video boards. It's going to be a lot like playing a video game for your kid. So they're going to be locked in. You're going to like it because of what you're spending, not spending an arm and a leg on a membership, and your kid's getting better. They're going to be great for the school seat. Coach going to be like, What did little Johnny do this offseason? Well, little Johnny was at Shoot 360. So get little Johnny out there. Get your membership, especially ahead of the new place opening up in Cordova. We will keep you apprised of the grand opening. For right now, get out to 85 Markson Drive in Kyrieville. Get your place in line by getting that membership. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future is at Shoot 360.
What is Mike Gundy doing, man? What's he
just
doing?
He tell you he's just being old, honest Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy, man.
I'm just being honest. I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah, so running back Ollie Gordon II was arrested for a DUI, and according to Mike Gundy, who is the coach of the Oklahoma State football program, Ollie will not be missing any time. Gundy told ESPN on Tuesday, he's going to play. I'm going to do what we think is best for Oklahoma State football. I think it's best for Ollie to play. If there's any punishment, it's making him carry the ball 50 times in the game. Your punishment is going to be facing the facts. That's why we brought him here today. So that was Big 12. That's Big 12 Media
Day. Yeah, they made him, according to Gundy. Yeah, you got to come to Big 12 Media Day and answer the questions, and that as part of your punishment or accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Right.
This whole thing's ridiculous. You, in the quote that you read from Gundy is the key, I think. I'm going to do what we think is best for Oklahoma State football.
For sure.
They need Ollie. He's their running back. This is about wins. I mean, and he literally said it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time you'll hear from those coaches, what's best for the student athlete, setting aside my team and everything else, right? That's the coach speak stuff that you say if you're in a program. He just came right out and told you.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, and maybe, you know, not even realizing that he did so. But this is all about, I mean, the kid is 20. Last I checked, the drinking age in Oklahoma is 21. You know, it's not just suspicion of DUI. He was underage, and you're not going to hold him out any time. And you're going to put this guy's over and say, by rolling him out of the Big 12 media days where he's got to answer the questions, that's his sort of, you know, that's his penance. That's a joke. So he's sending the wrong message.
Yeah, I think he is. You know, this is a perfect July story to sort of get outraged about, right? Like, this is probably something that wouldn't be on our radar if it was August or you know, September. But, yes, I think it's a pretty bad example. And, you know, him basically going on to say that, you know, I've done it a million times or a thousand times, or whatever the words he used were, you know, I think that's definitely not. But these coaches are above reproach, man. These, you know, gone are the days of, you know, these guys know that they're Teflon. They know that, like, no matter what, as long as they win games, they're never going to be fired. I mean, it's just that's the world we live in, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about their college football playoff chances, the Big 12 chances, all that. ESPN's got them as a serious contender for the CFP.
Yeah,
and they don't Gundy doesn't want to slow that down, and so that's why you don't stop here. Than to say, yeah, we punished him by rolling him out for the Big 12 media days.
Exactly. Yeah, like I think the days of looking to college football coaches or college basketball coaches or
now that's a good point.
Whoever as like a moral compass, I think those days are over.
But you're still sending your young men there and to not hold them to some account.
No, I agree.
You're right. Gundy's firmly entrenched. He could say anything. Go Oklahoma State going to keep him.
Yeah.
But so he's Teflon in that sense. But this is ridiculous. I mean, it's basically telling your other guys, we all do it.
Yeah.
The only issue here is you got caught.
Yeah, it was pretty – I mean, it's outrageous.
Not about make better decisions, anything else. It's that we all do it. He even brought in the kid's size and weight and how it's – this is really only four beers. His point to say we all do it, the bottom line is, we've all done it, and no, we need to make better decisions, whether we've been caught or not.
Yep.
That's what you should be preaching rather than – this is best for Oklahoma State football. I'm punishing him by making him answer the question. Stop.
Yes.
Stop. You're not teaching him anything except that if you're a good football player, we're gonna cut you a break.
Yeah,
you're gonna keep on playing.
He was arrested.
He's 20.
82 in a 65. He had swerved into an adjacent lane twice. He admitted that he had opened bottles of vodka and tequila
in the car.
And he blew he registered a blood alcohol level of 0.11 and 0.10.
And all that would be bad enough if he was of legal drinking age.
Right.
He's 20 with the open bottles in the car.
Correct.
And you're basically telling him, you're good. We all do make mistakes. You're young. We're going to play you game one. Oh, by the way, we might run you 50 times so you get beat up a little bit. May stop.
Yep.
But this is Mike Gundy. It has been for a long time.
It is.
You made the best point, you know, looking to some of these guys. I think though, we've set aside Mike Gundy a long time ago.
We did.
In terms of those coaches that you're talking about, we shouldn't hold up, you know, to be our moral compass.
I don't remember what he said in 2020, but didn't he have to, like, apologize with his player? Like, was it Chuba Hubbard?
Might have been. Yeah, I think. You're ringing some bells with that one. And I know there's the I am a man thing. That was really just how he went off on the columnist.
Right.
This was a separate incident years later that you're talking about. I can't remember the details of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. So Mike Gundy, so this is what it was. So Mike Gundy back in 2020 wore like some T-shirt.
The OAN thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't. Did that happen? Okay.
Yeah, it was exactly. OAN. That was it.
Yeah.
And Chuba like spoke out about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society. This was like amidst all the protests and
BLM.
You know, yeah. He said, this is completely insensitive to everything going on, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. And then Gundy got Chuba to come together for a video.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.